please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter 5. We're going to continue the message that we began last week, talking about the importance of praying for ourselves. And what our theme has been this fall has been prayer and the importance of prayer. Prayer is a basic exercise of our faith, kind of a fundamental exercise of our faith, but one that we need to be reminded to do each and every day. And it just occurred to me, I didn't give thanks to God, other than general, as we shared our testimonies, and I do have something very special to thank God for, at least to me. And that was my shower broke on Friday. And I started taking it apart, and the more I took it apart, the more I realized, I don't think I'm going to be able to fix this thing. And I have to call a plumber on the weekends, which is always a joy. And right before I called the plumber, actually right before someone gave me the number of a good plumber, I went on YouTube, checked out how to fix it, and I was basically right there. I just didn't pull hard enough to take a part out and was able to fix it for a lot less. So I thank God for his help on that. Yeah, that's a good applause for a plumbing job. Actually, for me, it's a miracle because me and water don't get along too good. But the Lord's good. Amen. But it is important for God's people to be people of prayer. And prayer is something, we can't be people of token prayer, and what I mean by that, who just kind of say a few words in the morning as we're going out the door, to really have a meaningful and powerful prayer life. Prayer is communicating with God, and as we have discussed in this series of messages, there's a lot to pray for. We're to pray for one another. We're to pray for our families. We're to pray for our elected officials. We're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and a lot going on in the Middle East. And it's interesting to note, you want to pray for the Middle East, pray for Jerusalem, because all of, it's not my message today, but it bears mentioning, all of the toil and the tension in the Middle East revolves around the city of Jerusalem. Pray, as the book of Psalms tells us to pray, for the peace of Jerusalem. But there is one thing, one person, that it is extremely important that we be faithful to pray for, and that is ourselves. And that's what we began to talk about last week, and we're going to continue to talk about this week, answering these three questions. Number one, why should we pray for ourselves? Number two, what should we pray for as far as ourselves? And number three, how should we pray for ourselves? Let's read the text and let's ask God's blessing to be with us as we look to the Word of God. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of Him. Let's bow our hearts and let's ask God's blessing to be with us today. Father, once again, we give all honor and glory and praise to You because You have done so many wonderful things in our lives, too many for us to even recount. Dear God, now as we look to Your holy word, we ask once again for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to fill this room. Give words to this speaker, we pray today. Give us all ears to hear what Your Spirit would have us to know. Change us, give us faith. And as the disciples asked those many years ago, teach us to pray. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Praying for ourselves. One of the first things I do, and actually the first thing I do in just sharing personally about my own prayer life, the first thing I do is thank God for His goodness and grace in my life. And on this Thanksgiving morning, we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But the next thing I pray for every time I pray in my regular prayer time is myself. Because I need God's help in every aspect of my life. I need God's forgiveness. I need God's strength. I need God's nature to be part of my nature, to fill up and to get rid of my old nature. I need so much of Jesus. And really, there's, I don't want to say it's the only way to get it, because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We become more like Jesus through the cleansing work of His Word, and how many are thankful that the Word of God is powerful. And when we take it into our lives, it does change us. It does strengthen us. And I thank God this morning for every one of you. God uses our brothers and sisters, each one of us, to encourage ourselves in our faith, in our relationship with Jesus, in the calling that's upon our lives. God uses us. But God also works in our lives when we pray. In fact, we've talked about how powerful prayer is by reflecting on that encouragement from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, what? Be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be done. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty powerful to me. James telling us the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. And if you want to know God greater, in a greater way in your life, if you want to see things change in your life, and we're specifically talking about ourselves because it's okay to, doesn't absolve us for praying for others and praying for nations and things of that nature and churches. But we should and can pray for ourselves. If you want to be more satisfied with yourself, with who you are as a human being, you need to be a person of prayer, specifically a person who prays for themselves. Last week, we began by talking about why we should pray for ourselves. And there are many scriptures that direct us to pray for ourselves. We talked about 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Fear lurks around every corner. Doesn't it seem that way? And fear lurks around every corner of life. There's a lot to be fearful of. That sounds like someone out there is a little fearful right now, or upset, not sure which one. But you can't read any news. I was going to say newspaper, but I get most of my news from the internet. Whether it's local or state or national news or world news, without seeing something to be afraid of. And if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God not only wants you to have mastery over fear, He has given you a direction how to deal with that fear. And it's not the way that man does. And I'm not even sure how man does. Like going to a focus group or you know, just going through your mind saying, I will not be afraid, you know, saying some kind of mantra to kind of brainwash your mind into escaping fear. but to give your fears to Jesus. And I only know one way to give my fear to God, and that's through prayer. Giving my, God, I'm afraid for my life. I'm afraid for my family. I'm afraid for my health. I'm afraid for my church. I'm afraid for my country. And I give it to you and ask you for deliverance. In fact, we're not only called to give our fears to God, we're called in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, to lay down a foundation of prayer for our lives each and every day. Talked a little bit about this in the early service. You know, sometimes we get so used to life and what we're doing in life, our responsibilities, you know, our job or our family and things, that we don't worry about the unseen thing that might happen. Those are especially times we need to be very, very careful. But the best way to ensure that you are going to have a carefree day, not that the unseen thing won't happen, but if the unseen thing or unexpected thing does happen, you will be prepared. You need to pray about it. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Every day, you don't know what's waiting for you. You don't know all the decisions that you'll have to make during the day. And you want to have confidence that you'll do so wisely. You want to have confidence that God will be with you. And every day, pray, God, we need to pray, God, be with me. Luke 11:13 tells us regarding the gift and gifts and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Those are things to be sought for in prayer. Are we not Pentecostal? And if we are Pentecostal, and what I mean by that, for those who might not be familiar with the term, we believe in the gifts and the moving of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, moves today in 2015 like He did back in the book of Acts. That people can be healed. That people do prophesy or speak in tongues and interpret or have words of wisdom or knowledge. Miracles can and do happen. We see them all the time. Well, according to the Bible, to Holy Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 tells us to desire spiritual gifts. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we want to see the manifestation or the power of the Holy Spirit evident in our lives and not just church services. But while we are out in the highways and byways, we need to be praying that the Holy Spirit would fill us and use us and move through us in Jesus' name. It only comes through prayer. Luke 11:13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And then, of course, I alluded to this earlier, but becoming more mature in Christ. You know, when I read the book of James, I see where the Word of God is like a mirror. And we see ourselves. And the Word of God is just like the mirror that's in my bathroom, which is under, you know, bright lights. And so when I get up in the morning, I don't see, not that I have a beautiful face, not by a long shot, but I don't see, you know, this nice, well-groomed face that I would like to see. You ever see like a picture of yourself, especially like from behind, and think to myself, is that what I look like? You know, you have in your mind what you look like as far as, you know, your build and your hair and all this stuff. And then you see a picture, especially at a strange angle, and you think, is that me? I got to get to the gym. The Bible is like that mirror in the morning. You know, the mirror in the morning. doesn't show me what I would like to look like. It shows me exactly what I look like. All the bags, the hair, the stubbly beard. Not just this little part here, but on the cheeks. Everything that's out of place. You know, the older you get, the more hair seems to grow in different places that you don't think it should. I'm sorry, I don't mean to gross you out this morning. And so it is with the Word of God. When we study the Word of God, we see how ugly we are. You know, I continue to see things in my life that just don't measure up. Not to bring myself under condemnation, but to show me a way out. Show me how I can become more beautiful in the eyes of both God and man. And such it is with prayer. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. I know that's a mouthful, but what it boils down to is this. We can become, when we pray for ourselves, we give an opening for the Holy Spirit to come in and make us more mature or beautiful in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we look at the Word of God, the Bible says the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. The Spirit of God, just like the shower and the shaving and the brush makes my face a little more presentable than it is first thing in the morning. So the work of the Holy Spirit, when we open up our hearts to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, makes us more beautiful to God and to others. Prayer for ourselves is critical. We talked about a few other things, how we need to pray that our faith would not fail. Pray that we may be healed if we're sick. Everything by prayer and thanksgiving. Which leads us to the second question, what should we pray for? Looking at Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 2 through 4, we have Luke's rendition of what is known as the Lord's Prayer. And it gives us insight as far as what specifically we are to pray for in our lives. Luke 11, and this is on the heels of the disciples asking Jesus, teach us to pray. And this is His response. Luke 11, 2, He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. So what are we? And notice how Jesus is teaching the disciples. He is teaching them to pray for the kingdom of God. We'll talk about that. And there is kind of a global aspect to praying. If we go back maybe to verse 2. As we pray for the kingdom of God to come, there is kind of a global aspect to that. And what I mean by that, praying for things beyond ourselves. Praying for our families. Praying for our cities. Praying for our church. Praying for our nation and the nations. So there's that aspect of praying for things other than ourselves. But the majority of this prayer is directed towards whom? And this, of course, is Jesus' own teaching. It's us. God is saying, pray for yourself. Why? Because we need to. And what we're doing, it's a demonstration of our faith. We alluded to this last week. We are putting our faith in Jesus when we pray. We are demonstrating to Him that we not only believe that He is, but that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. And in doing so, as Philippians 4:7 says, the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let's look at the different things that are mentioned here in this prayer, in this outline of prayer that Jesus gives us. And friend, my firm belief, in fact, Matthew 6 talks about this, we're not called just to give words to Jesus. If I say a certain few words, these are some magic phrases that will just open up God's blessing to my life. This is just kind of an outline to give us direction of how to express our hearts to the Lord. Because God's not so much interested in what you say as far as who you are and what's going on the inside. The first thing that God, as I just mentioned a few moments ago, that Jesus directs us to pray for regarding ourselves is that the kingdom of God would come, Matthew's gospel says, on earth. Verse 2 once again, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And of course, as I mentioned, normally when we think about this and we pray this and we preach on this, we're thinking about people coming to know Jesus, the church becoming more like Jesus, our families turning to God. And that's true. We should pray for that. But that also relates to the kingdom of God becoming a reality in our lives. Because the kingdom of God is not just churches and memberships. And there's a reason why I say that, and the reason is this. When Jesus taught about the kingdom of God, He said the kingdom of God is within you. And although, and I'm all for church roles and people belonging to the church is the gift of God to humanity. It is important. But that's just an aspect or an instrument, rather, of what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is what happens inside the heart and the life of a human being. The book of Romans puts it this way, the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so when we pray for ourselves, we need to pray that God would make the kingdom of God a reality in our hearts and in our lives. And I dare say, because I've been serving God for a long time, there are some who profess Jesus, and I think they're genuinely born again. And I challenge no man's salvation, because it's not my place to. That's God's place. But there are some, in fact, in my life, it's been true, where people have not been praying for the kingdom of God to be a reality in their heart and their lives. And there's a reason I say that, and the reason is this. The church always has been, and I hope always won't be, but I have a strong feeling that it will be, filled with people that both people in the church, but more importantly outside of the church, refer to as hypocrites. What is it? We all know what hypocrites are. Literally means two-faced. And when we think of hypocrites within the church, we think of people who say one thing, who believe one thing, who profess one thing, but their lives totally betray who they profess to be. They lie, cheat, and steal. They murmur, grumble, complain. They're involved in all kinds of things that don't bring glory and honor to Jesus. They blaspheme the name of God or speak against the name of God. They backbite. You know, we all know what a hypocrite is. And I've been guilty. What is one of the ways, and again, reading the word is important. Exposing yourself to the ministry of the church is important. Stepping out in faith is also important. Obeying God. But to overcome our old nature, which is still present in us, it tries to assert itself over the new man or woman that God created when we ask Jesus Christ to come into our lives, is to be people who pray that the kingdom of God would come on earth, in our hearts, in our lives, as it is in heaven, that we would become in reality whom we profess to be. Very important part of your prayer life. And just, you know, personally sharing my own personal prayer life, there are times and I'm talking about now, I'm not talking about when I was a brand new Christian or when I, you know, came back, rededicated my life to the Lord, you know, those days 20 some odd years ago or more. I'm talking about now, oh God, deliver me from my weaknesses, oh God, and my flesh. Help me to serve. Empower me. You know, it's not just a matter of forgiveness. Forgiveness is there. Bless God. We live by grace and faith. But empower me to live for you. Thy kingdom come in my heart as it is in heaven. Secondly, Scripture tells us to pray for our daily provision. Chapter 11, verse 3. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, of course, initially when we read that, we think of, okay, this is taking time and asking God to provide for us our daily needs. But there's an interesting thing about that. And that is, in some of the teachings of Jesus seem to contradict this direction from Jesus to pray for our daily needs. And that contradiction is found in Matthew chapter 6, which also has the Lord's Prayer in it. Matthew 6, 31 through 33 reads, and I'm sorry I don't have that on PowerPoint, Matt. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, both of these scriptures, give us this day our daily bread, and seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, are both powerful verses, are both the words of Jesus, are both inspired, and are both true, but on the surface, they seem contradictory. On the one hand, Jesus is saying, you should pray that God would give you daily bread. And on the other hand, don't seek for those things. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And seeking is another way of saying praying. You know, there's more to it than that, but essentially to seek is to pray. It's kind of a greater intensity of prayer than, you know, Matthew 7, ask, seek, knock. We're not, in fact, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. Our prayer life, because prayer is powerful, but also our time is limited and we need to use our time wisely, can't be wasted on stuff that we don't even need to pray for. That's what Jesus is talking about here. You don't have to pray for food or clothes or a place to live because God knows you need those things. Pray for the kingdom. Pray for the things that only God can do. Not only that only God can do, the eternal things, not the things that are here today and gone tomorrow, but the eternal things. People coming to know Jesus, people being set free from sin, people increasing in their faith. Why then is God saying here, give us this day our daily bread? Well, like so many other things in the teaching of Jesus, Jesus, in order to get a spiritual point across, oftentimes refers to something in everyday life. In Matthew chapter 13, he talks about the Word of God, the Bible, being like seeds. You know, it doesn't look alive, but there's life in it. And life that when it's planted, it springs forth, it grows and bears fruit. The kingdom of God wasn't literal seeds, but the kingdom of God was like seeds. And what Jesus is doing here, he's also using something in everyday life, that being bread, to talk about something that relates to us in the spiritual realm or in our relationship with Jesus. And I think the understanding of what Jesus is saying here is revealed to us in the exchange between Jesus and Satan when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness. And for those of you who might not be familiar with the story, the way the story goes, Jesus was, after he was baptized in water and the Holy Spirit came down and rested upon him, and the Father commissioned him to his gospel ministry, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." The Bible says the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that descended upon him in the form of a dove, in Mark's gospel says, drove him out into the wilderness for one purpose, and that was to be tempted, and there was a reason for that. He was tempted to overcome so that through him we might overcome temptation as well. But that's another message for another time. And one of the temptations that the enemy brought to Jesus was, and this temptation lasted over a period of 40 days, and during that 40-day period, Jesus did not eat food. And the Bible says, and this isn't too revelatory, after 40 days he became hungry. Stating the obvious, but an important point to the story in this exchange between Jesus and Satan. Satan came and tempted him to break the fast. And said to Jesus, "If you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." Jesus' response to him was this: "Man does not live," Matthew chapter 4, verse 5, "man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So what Jesus was doing here in Matthew's gospel, he was defining the spiritual symbolism of bread as the Word of God. And so when he brought up bread in the Lord's Prayer, he wasn't saying, pray that God would bring you food. But pray each and every day that God would give to you the ministry of the Word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This needs to be part of our prayer life, that God would fill us each day with His Word and in the ministry and with the ministry of His Word for two reasons. Why do we eat bread in the first place? And I have to admit, I'm a breadaholic. You know, if there's like those Italian sticks, those things are great. I could eat that whole thing in like 5 minutes, easy. And I love bread. And it is tasty. But there's a reason why bread is served with meals. Number one, bread is something that gives us strength. I'm not a dietitian, but I believe it contains carbohydrates. And carbohydrates give us energy. If you have no carbs in your diet, when you need especially that extra push of energy, it might not be there. And so it is with the Word of God. It gives strength. Faith comes by hearing, and our strength comes through faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to pray that God would minister, that the words that are on the page of this book aren't just dead words that the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life, but are living and powerful and active in our lives. God, give to me the ministry of the Word of God that I might be strong. But there's another reason for bread in a meal, especially if you're short on meat and vegetables. There's a little less in the pantry. So if there's a little less in the pantry, if the meat portion's a little smaller than usual, and the beans portion is a little smaller, or the vegetable portion's a little smaller than usual, but the husband and the children are just as hungry, what do you give them to fill them up and make them satisfied? Have a second slice of bread. It'll fill your belly. The Word of God not only gives strength, but the Word of God, especially in this wilderness, tough journey of life that we are living, also gives us satisfaction. It's symbolized by the children of Israel as they left, as they walked from the land of Egypt, as they traveled from the land of Egypt to the land of promise. God gave them bread every day. You know, it's nice, it's a wonderful story in and of itself, but it symbolizes your life and my life as we live for Jesus, the ministry of the Word of God. How it satisfies. We don't see Jesus face to face, but one of the ways we behold Him through that dark smoky glass is through the Word. The Word of God satisfies us and keeps us going through life. And may I say, and this is why the Word of God must not only be read, but it must be studied, must be meditated on prayerfully. And we must pray that the Holy Spirit would speak the Word to us in our hearts, make the Word alive and real, so that it is quick and powerful in our lives and satisfies us in the toils and the struggles that we go through in everyday life. God is faithful. So important to pray for the Word, and so important that God makes that Word real. And let me tell you this regarding the ministry of the Word of God. Being prayerful and praying that God would make the Word of God real to us. Not just a mental exercise of learning different scriptures for our mind, but being truly spiritual and powerful is something that not only happens when we read the Word of God and the stories and things kind of come to life, but also just as we're living, the Spirit of God, and I've found this true in my life, the Spirit of God can drop a scripture in my heart to think about during the day. And especially in times of need or you know, when I'm faced with something, the Holy Spirit can give a scripture in due season or a scripture at the very right time that speaks either wisdom or encouragement or faith regarding that situation that I might be facing at that very moment. And it comes as we pray for God to minister His Word to us. Give me today the Word of God, the living and active Word that I need in my life today. Thirdly, looking at Luke chapter 11, verse 4, Jesus says regarding our prayer life, "Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us." What is knowing Jesus all about? What was the purpose of this being the cross? Why is it here? What was it about Jesus? Did Jesus do it for Himself? And the answer to that is no. Romans 5, verse 8 tells us, God commends His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ, when He hung on the cross, paid for or took upon Himself the penalty of our sin. He did that to provide a way for you and I to be forgiven. There are many words we could use to describe what Jesus is all about and what the ministry of Jesus is all about. And one word that we could use that's powerful and it almost hits every aspect is the word forgiveness. And in that statement regarding forgiveness says volumes, because forgiveness is not just God forgiving us, although that's a very important part. It also mentions two other things, and of course, it's important to realize the only way that we can pray and have powerful prayers because we are righteous is to receive the righteousness of Christ on our life, is to ask Jesus Christ to personally come into our lives and forgive us. But two other aspects of forgiveness are very important for the life of the believer. Forgiveness is like a three-legged stool. If you're missing one or two legs, the stool is unsteady. Forgiveness is not just receiving what Jesus Christ has done for us. Forgiveness, according to the Word of God, also relates to our relationships with other people. There are times where people, and this is nothing new, we all know this, but sometimes it's something that we forget. There are times that people, especially people that we care about, when they offend us, when they do something to hurt our feelings or to hurt someone who's close to us, and the result of that is unforgiveness. But because we have been forgiven, God expects us to forgive. But sometimes it's difficult, if not impossible, to do on our own. And so in our prayer life, and this is something that I have to ask for, God, empower me to forgive those, especially when someone's done something, and in my own flesh I cannot forgive that person. Empower me to forgive that person and genuinely have the love of God towards them. That needs to be part of our prayer life. We cannot let unforgiveness reside in there. But the third leg of forgiveness is not just receiving the forgiveness of God and not forgiving others, but being people who are forgivable. Just as surely as either later today, tomorrow, this week, next couple weeks, someone close to you especially, and someone who might know better, either because they're part of your natural family or your spiritual family, will offend you, you will offend someone. And because, and when we do that, it's important to realize that the burden of reconciliation just doesn't rest on the person who's offended, but also on the person who offends. Jesus puts it this way in Matthew chapter 5, before you bring your gift to the altar, if there's a brother who has something against you, first be reconciled with your brother and then bring your gift to the altar. See, forgiveness of one another is a two-way street. It's not just a matter if I offend Sam, well, that's Sam's problem because God says Sam has to forgive me. No, I have to make myself, if I'm to live right before God, forgivable to him. And I have to confess to you, in my own prayer life, I have to pray that God would make me forgivable. That God would bring me to the place of humility where I am willing to say, Sam, I have wronged you, please forgive me. In fact, if we see more of that in the body of Christ, and I mean generally, we'll really see God move in ways I don't think we've seen him move. And lastly, I'd hope to get on to actually Thanksgiving today, but we'll pick up on that next week. Lastly, we need to pray for deliverance. Last part of verse 4, lead us not into temptation. What waits for us outside, almost around every corner that there is? And the answer to that is temptation. To do one of three things: temptation to sin, temptation to doubt God, or temptation to fear, to be afraid. There's a lot that's going on in the world. There's a lot that's going on in our lives. There's a lot to be fearful of. That's part of the wonder of life. Other than Jesus, in the natural, there are no certainties. There's certainties in Christ, don't get me wrong, and that Christ can get us through. But there are temptations to give in to those things. And there is a tempter who will encourage us to give in to those things, either sin or fear or doubt. If we want to be well equipped to serve God and to give glory to God each and every day, when we pray for ourselves, we need to pray that God would deliver us from temptation. That God would make us strong in the face of doubt, that we would trust him, that God would give us courage and boldness, one of the things that marked the disciples after Jesus rose from the dead and the Holy Spirit was given, was confidence to live for Jesus regardless of the consequences, confidence to look temptation in the eye and say, I will not sin. We need to pray that God would give us strength to face every challenge to our faith that we will face. That God would deliver us from all the traps and snares that the enemy puts out there for us. And that if we have to go through the valley of the shadow of death, so to speak, that he will be with us in a very powerful way. I'd like to ask Henry and Christine to come. And I'd like to close with this thought this morning. And it relates to fear. Earlier in the message, I talked about how, you know, we're not to pray for what we eat or what we wear or where we live. But I dare say at different points in our lives, some of us do worry about those things. We worry, are we going to have enough food? Are we going to have enough for this month's rent or for our mortgage? Are we going to have enough, you know, I need a new pair of shoes, you know, so on and so forth. I need a new pair of shoes or a new coat. And I just don't have my car, whatever it might be. And I neglected to mention this, but I think this is very important. This is how I've learned to pray for those things in my life. We are to cast all your cares, all of our cares upon Jesus. And one thing I do want to leave with you today is that just because God doesn't want us to pray for those things doesn't mean that God, not only that he won't take care of us, but he does not care how we are feeling regarding those things. He knows what our fears are. He knows what our sorrows are. But this is how I've learned to pray when I face those times. And like everyone else, you know, just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I don't face fearful times. But this is how I've learned to pray when I face those times. Lord, give me the faith to continue to trust you and believe you, oh God, that you're going to take care of every need, so that I can pursue your kingdom with all of my heart in the name of Jesus. We're going to close in just a few moments with a word of prayer and a few closing thoughts before we open up our altars for those who'd like to come and seek God. But before we do that, our worship team is going to lead us in a chorus. Would you stand with me this morning? Let's praise God together on this day and ask God's blessing to be with us as we dedicate ourselves to be people who pray for ourselves, seek God for ourselves each and every day.